Now, Bob, the other day I gave you a few elevator pitches.
Correct.
For movies to check out. I think you were kind of down on the Oscar nominations. A lot of the movies you'd seen, maybe one or two here and there, but for the most part, wasn't really reaching you. Wasn't your type of fare. I pitched you After Sun and Triangle of Sadness as movies to check out. One of which Best Picture nominated, the other Best Actor nominated. How'd I do? What do you think? What's your report?
I love the elevator pitches when you sold them. The movie is definitely delivered for me. I'm still not charging up the hill for the 2023 library right now, and I'm not a huge champion, but I do think that After Sun might be one of my is probably in my top two movies this year. I loved After Sun, and
Yeah, I have
it's
it
not
two
for
or
everybody.
three. I think I have Banshees at two behind Maverick, but it's right there. I just rewatched it, and I told you it's an incredible rewatch. Obviously, because you really have to pay attention the first time around, and then even if you are, so much more of it makes sense the second time. And it again, it I was heartbroken. I mean, it's a pretty devastating, emotionally impactful movie that's really sweet, as well as being a debut for director and child star. Paul Mescal, people will know from Normal People. He's going to be in the Gladiator remake or sequel. This guy's killing it. He's awesome. Normal People's really good, by the way. But it's such. I was kind of blown away by it. It reminded me of like Worst Person in the World, or to some extent Coda, but also Come On, Come On. These indie darlings. They run the festival circuit. You mean you don't go to festivals, but we catch wind maybe. Later on, they still kind of go underappreciated, but these like weighty, well-written, well-acted, just true, real stories, I guess, is kind of the sweet spot for me and you. And Triangle of Sadness, we can get to a little bit later, but I think After Sun more so is what I'm talking about.
Incredibly intimate. This is just a story about two characters. It really gave me, and it's this kind of life reflection. It gave me vibes, strangely, about a movie that has stayed with me for a while. But you remember the Florida Project?
Yes,
It
although I still have never seen it.
had Willem Dafoe in it, and new actress. But it was about this, this kind of like slumming mother and daughter living in Orlando, and it was just, it was a very small and personal movie, and it also gave me vibes of kind of like that introspective look back on childhood summer vibe of The Way, Way Back. Remember the Sam Rockwell movie, Way, Way Back? It's just kind of like talking about some of these kind of seminal moments in your childhood and the way you remember it, the way you might alter the experience, and you're trying to have your childhood give you context on your family and your parents, and thus like yourself as an adult. I thought I just was, and I was really touched with the performance of the father. I was, and the scene when he's at the edge of his bed and kind of breaking down, and just the different subtle ways that the daughter said, "Hey, don't make promises. I know you don't have financially the capability to do that. Don't feel like you have to do that." Just like some of
Yeah,
those
these
small
barbs, like,
moments. Yeah.
ah, man, my life sucks, God.
Yeah.
But then it's not, nothing is obvious. And I kind of want to just pause here because if anyone hasn't seen it, I don't want to get into any spoilers. I just highly recommend people checking it out. So maybe skip ahead a few minutes here. But when he's sitting on the edge of the bed, breaking down, it's kind of in the middle of the action. They're kind of having a nice time at the pool. It kind of, because the narrative breaks apart a little bit. We kind of flash back and forth. It's a movie about remembering and, memories and reaching adulthood and adolescence. But that specifically. Was that still at the Turkish resort, you think? Or do we cut to where he decides he's gonna maybe take his life? And that's because then they also show a postcard, "Know that I love you" and all that. So could that have been his note to his daughter? Because the first time I watched it, I was unsure. Like, oh, he's just back up at the hotel room crying.
Yeah, but that's what I thought, too.
If you look closely, he's surrounded by these postcards, and it's like a note to Sophie. And I think he's wearing a different outfit. It's like a different bed. So I think maybe that's where we kind of see him at his lowest. Mm-hmm. Where, and this was obviously shortly after the vacation.
Yeah.
Right? So I was just curious.
I didn't track that, but that's interesting. I'd have to go back and watch. Yeah. Really
it's
tragic,
a really
though.
Yeah, no, it is. It's and when I first watched it, I wasn't paying attention closely where I didn't kind of catch a lot of the this man is deeply depressed stuff. I know he's doing kind of Chai Chi and he's like heartbroken that he doesn't have enough money to buy this rug or mm-hmm. when he loses the goggles or I mean the fact that he takes his kid to like it's kind of ironic that it's in Turkey, this place where 20,000 yeah. people have recently died, but mm-hmm. it's a pretty good vacation for a guy that doesn't have a lot of money at 30 years old. I was immediately curious where it's like, oh, this like cam footage, this daughter vacation with a guy pauses, and then we see a woman's shadow watching it, and like I was immediately like, ooh, what's going yeah. What's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just love the idea of she's turning the same age her father was when she went on this vacation at 11, cut 20 years later, it's her birthday, she now has a kid, and she's remembering her father seemingly the last time she ever saw him,
yeah,
or certainly the last time they spent any meaningful time together. This is your type of film.
It is. It really is. And that doesn't mean to say I'm this. I don't know how to say it. Like I'm not this sad sack that only likes to watch. I'm not in the dark listening to Radiohead and reading Edgar Allan Poe. Like I'm not this. But I do from time to time. Like I do like an emotional purge, and I like to find these family or relationship type stories that have it's not always the hero's journey for me, and I just find them. I think when they I like the way that Ethan Hawke said it, where he's like, no one seeks poetry, no one seeks sadness, or no one seeks these things. They don't feel like they have a lot of value in their life, but the second that you drift away from a lover, the second that you lose a family member, you have that happen in your life, and you find a piece of art that articulates that mm-hmm. feeling to you, it makes you feel like you're not alone, and it makes you feel connected to the world, and it makes you feel like you have a support system. And I'm paraphrasing him. He says it a lot better. But I think that's why I like a lot of these kind of like personal dramas. And so, have I had any of these exact experiences? Like, no, but I like the way that they're able to communicate and make me feel a certain way.
Well, I kind of, anyone that's had a favorite memory can kind of relate to this maybe. And I know my cousin Kay, who texted me, she's got a young daughter approaching sort of adolescence, very precocious, very similar to this character in the movie. Sophie, who happens to be my sister's name as well, so there mm-hmm. I was kind of like I was getting flashes of kind of connecting tissue, and mm-hmm. then when Kay messaged me about like, oh, this hits so close to home, as I raise a very not rambunctious but
yeah.
very aware of her surroundings. She's very smart, and so is Sophie in the movie, where I think she's very aware of what's going on and her dad's struggles, and mm-hmm. and obviously when she grows up, she's like, she's seeing the clues, and she kind of I love the filmmaking technique of kind of holding this memory of your father dancing in a rave where it's kind of yeah. flashing, and you're like you're kind of forgetting it, I think is what I got from that, where mm-hmm. she's reaching out to find him on the dance floor, and it's just like the strobe effect. It's like he's leaving her memory. And I thought yeah. there was a really cool device having that dance floor. And then when we see it connected where the last time they danced together, and it's like David Bowie is playing like one of the best needle drop kind of, what's it called? Like remounting of a song in a movie. I thought it was so incredible. We're like, this is our last dance. It slows mm-hmm. down. It slows down. I thought that was so good.
That is I think you articulated that incredibly well. I think just the, and there's not a lot being praised in terms of the direction of this movie or anything, but I thought that that was a really great device. I think just also just again the subtlety of the story where he's talking about his experience on his birthdays with his parents, and it gives you insight, and I think a lot of this, I'm just reading into it, but it's kind of that generational trauma that gets passed down because his parents, you know, were a certain way with him. She's obviously impacted by her childhood with him in different ways, and it kind of like reflecting and thinking about your parents and thinking about the impact that has on you as a parent. You know, neither one of us have kids, but I'm sure this would be a very interesting watch, especially if you had a young person that you were raising.
Imagine when you're just like not feeling up for something, you know what I mean? You're on vacation and, you know, Brecken or whoever is like, hey, let's go do this. And like, oh God, I just like really don't want to. But then you see the scene where his daughter is like, let's go do karaoke. And he's just like feeling down. He's like, I'm just not up for it. And he just stays in his seat as she gets up there and sings solo and is dying up there. Mm-hmm. And just like, bro, it's like the self-loathing, you can just feel it. The guy's just sitting there, like, had a few beers. And you're like, man, just get up and do the thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
You always look back on those moments and like, man, I wish I had been more fun or been less of an asshole. But, like, in the moment, you're like, fuck, I just, like, really just don't want to go do this or see this stupid play.
Such a sweet scene when she has the people sing Happy Birthday, though. I was like, oh, man.
Well, yeah, because they're at some Acropolis, you know, some day trip out to some ruins, and he's at the top looking down. Everyone's like singing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow, and then that's when we cut to the scene on the bed where he's sobbing.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
and you're like, Jesus Christ, like this guy just can't receive love, or I think he does, but he's guilty about it, and it's just, it's like the upbringing of his parents forgetting his birthday, and when he mentions it, they get pissed. They're like, all right, well, we're going to the store, and we're going to make you pick something out.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
no, he wasn't prioritized. Yeah, he has abandonment issues and, you know, doesn't feel worthy of that type of affection and experience.
Yeah, he's not worthy of affection. He has this really sweet, loving daughter, and he can't handle it.
Yeah.
Which, well said. It's just, there's so many layers, it's so sweet. If you're paying attention, it's devastating and and just like an awesome, well, extremely well-made movie. The fact that it's a debut just blows my mind. The fact that this is the first movie the kid has been in, I mean, just, I don't understand how you get such a performance out of a first-time actor.
Yeah, it's 11 incredible.
Or whatever. Yeah, I never understand that.
I like that it's some of the other movies we're going to talk about today, no subtlety in a good way. And I think this has like all the subtlety. It's not a very clear message. You got to fight for it. And I like that as well.
Mm-hmm. Very subtle. You got to kind of chart the breadcrumbs a little bit. It helps to do a rewatch, although it seems like you had a pretty good handle on it with your first viewing. I got to the end of it. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. What did I just see? Because I'm like, oh, this is a fun little time vacation.
Rewatch, yeah.
You know what? I went into it thinking, like, after Sun, and people were like, oh, you, like, wait for the ending or something, or do you know what happens in? I was like, no, don't tell me. And I was like, but then I was like, wait, so what happens? And I thought maybe it was, like, after Sun, like, we were going to see they weren't in Turkey, they were on some other planet, and the Earth had exploded. I was thinking too broad, and then I was kind of thrown, so then rewatching it was the right way.
Do you think human creativity matters? Well, most people don't spend a lot of time thinking about poetry, right? They have a life to live and they're not really that concerned until their father dies. They go to a funeral, you lose a child. Somebody breaks your heart, they don't love you anymore. And all of a sudden you're desperate for making sense out of this life. And has anybody ever felt this bad before? Or the inverse, something great. You meet somebody and your heart explodes. You love them so much you can't even see straight. You know, you're dizzy. Did anybody feel like this before? What is happening to me? And that's when art's not a luxury. It's actually sustenance. We need it. And I believe that we are here on this star in space to try to help one another, right? And first, we have to survive. And then we have to thrive. And to thrive, to express ourselves, all right, well, here's the rub. We have to know ourselves.